Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I welcome to the show Jeff Hagee. Now, he is here to share with us how to use a powerful mindset to take your life and your business to the next level. Jeff has amazing experience in just all walks of life, and you're going to hear that. His direct experience has been focused on leadership and marketing in banking, finance, manufacturing, retail, and real estate. I don't think he sleeps. Coaching and consulting has allowed him to expand his experience through many different businesses and industry. And in 2005, he co-founded and continues to run Kodiak Mountain Stone. Over time, their focus has shifted from manufacturing to product supply and distribution. This is a company that supplies masonry products to the building industry in Canada and the U.S. And this is where I come in, because this is what I find really fascinating. As a coach and marketing strategist, his goal is straightforward: to help business owners, serious business owners, get more clients, close more sales, and start marketing more effectively and efficiently. He is also focused on the importance of the proper mindset. And this is what allows entrepreneurs to take both themselves and their business to the next level. Honestly, without that mindset, or a mindset that keeps you moving forward, you run into trouble. So in this conversation, Jeff is going to share how a career as a, listen to this, professional rodeo cowboy and bank manager got him into the business of making stone, and how that turned from there into coaching. And I was going to give you a whole bunch of things he's going to talk about, but honestly, his story is so fascinating, I'm just going to let him tell it himself with me going, yeah, but you told me this, what about this? So, Jeff, good morning. It's good to have you here. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you.
Oh, listen, we had our pre-interview and I enjoyed it so much. I was laughing. I was scribbling notes going, oh, my God. Look, these days, it used to be, when I was a kid anyway, you got one job, right? You got a job out of high school, or you got it out of college, and you pretty much stayed there until you got the gold watch set on the porch and died. That was it. Or at least that's where my grandparents used to live their lives. We don't do that anymore, do we?
Not at all. In fact, that's actually something I was thinking of exactly last night, because right now I'm helping one of my clients working on some projects and doing promotional products and stuff. And I was kind of going through my Rolodex, and I was looking through a bunch of people that I thought her products might be a good fit for. And I'm going through it, and I'm like, oh, he's moved to this position, she's moved to this company, and they're not even in the same industry. It's so much now that we never see, well, we do, but not very often do we see a lot of people staying in the same thing that they started, you know, right out of college or whatever, or out of high school. And it's really interesting to see how people jump around from different things. And I've definitely done it myself. Like, as you mentioned, some of the things I've been involved with, when I graduated from college, my major was entrepreneurship. That's one thing I knew. I wanted to do something on my own. But I had been working at the bank while I was going to school, and they actually offered me an incredible opportunity when I graduated and wanted me to go into the training program to become a personal lender and an investment specialist, all these different things. And I said, you know what, that's awesome, but I'm a professional rodeo cowboy, and I'm going to go rodeo instead. And so I actually turned it down. And long story short, about 6 months later, my wife and I were talking, and decided, you know, a real employment might be a good idea to look at as well. So I went back to the bank and got, luckily they said, yeah, we still want you to come work with us. And I got into the banking industry, and it was an incredible industry. I loved it. And I had the opportunity, I was fortunate enough to, you know, advance pretty quickly, went through the personal side of things, and ended up being in a position where I was what we called a full service branch manager, where I managed my own branch, but I also did all the stuff with the businesses where I did the business loans and all that sort of thing. And so I had an opportunity to sit down with a lot of entrepreneurs and really dissect their businesses and advise them and help them and learn from them. And it was really a great learning opportunity for me. And it allowed me to meet a lot of great people. And so what happened during that time, I was still doing some other things. You know, I had a mini storage facility. I had some real estate and things like that. And I was with one of my clients one day, and he knew I wanted to do something on my own. And he was building homes at the time. And I was in his office, and he had a catalog on his desk for artificial stone, the veneer that they put on all their buildings. And he says, "Why don't you figure that out?" And I thought, you know what, why not? That sounds like it'd be something really cool. And so I quit the banking industry, great job, great benefits, all those things, and I started making rocks. I found someone in Missouri that taught me how to do it.
I love that.
It was just crazy. And, yeah, I mean, I remember I started from scratch where I learned how to do it, and so I started in factory and all those different things. And I would go back to the bank, and my former employees would look at me, and I'm covered in head to toe with concrete and dye and everything. And they're like, "Why did you leave here?
What happened to you? I imagine they wanted to just take you outside and run a hose over you before you came in.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a great learning experience. I mean, even going back to that, I remember leaving Missouri, sitting in the Dallas airport, just thinking, wow, this is actually easier than I anticipated. It's going to be a snap, all these different things. And I had envisioned, you know, when you start a company, you want to keep that first dollar you make. You want to keep the first product you make, those things. And I had this, one of my competitors made a stone that the color was called Dakota Brown. I loved it. And I thought, the first product I'm going to make is going to be Dakota Brown. I'm going to match that color. And, you know, it's going to sit on my shelf as the first stone, Kodiak Mountain Stone, ever made. So we get back there and we did our first pour. The next day we went back and took everything out of the molds. And I'm all proud, ready for this beautiful product. And it was pink. And that's when I all of a sudden I realized that, okay, there's a bigger learning curve here than I thought there was going to be. Because I, you know, the guys that taught me how to do it made it look so easy. And it was actually, the whole industry was really a very steep and tough learning curve, which was awesome to learn from. But instead of having that nice, beautiful first product we ever made sitting on my shelf, I don't know where it landed, but I threw it as far as I could.
But pink sounds lovely. I mean, you could have sold it somewhere.
Right? Yeah, you know, it probably was beautiful, but when it's supposed to be a beautiful brown and it comes out,
right,
pink, it just wasn't so cool.
Yeah. So what happened with that? So you went, I mean, I get that it's a big, big leap. I mean, it's a big leap to quit a high-paying job and then have to really train yourself. You must be an intensely curious person.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about leaving a great job like the banking industry and going into something like this is you're taking that leap of faith. You know, there's not a fallback plan. Where I was fortunate is when I went to my boss at the bank and gave him my resignation, he said to me, he said, "You know what, this is great. I knew you were going to do something like this at some time. If for some reason it doesn't work out, you've always got a position here." Not
nice.
Many people have that opportunity. And so that was really comforting. And probably the biggest thing for me was from day one, I had my wife's support. You know, if that hadn't been there, I mean, I'm sure there's days that she wished she wasn't so supportive, but if it hadn't been there, it would have been completely different. Like any venture I've been on, she's just been so supportive, and that's what's really made a difference. I remember the first time I really wanted to get into real estate, there is a program from Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen, and it was a big investment. And we're newlyweds, and I'm like, do I talk to her about this? I think I could learn a lot. And without question, she was supportive of it. And so she's kind of really been the backbone of everything that I've ever done and supporting me and those sort of things. But it really made a big difference. And then, you know, through the process, I had a lot of opportunities to mentor people that other people that wanted to start businesses and do stuff like that. And so they would come talk to me. But one of the things I loved is, so the guy that had the home building company that gave me the idea, he actually ended up being my partner, and he ended up starting a business conference over in Hawaii. And with his affiliation over there, we ended up having an opportunity that for, I'm guessing it was probably about 4 years, I would go over there and work with the students at BYU Hawaii and help them prepare their business plans and then be a judge in the business plan competition. And the cool thing about that was being a mentor with those students was a unique opportunity because a lot of them were from developing nations. And so one that really stands out in my mind is we helped a student that was putting a business plan together to deliver rice around his village when he went home. And so it was really unique. And I really loved the opportunity to look at business plans and help people develop strategies and stuff like that. And I said to one of my other business partners, Dave, I was always telling him how I would love to get into coaching. And I was even taking some different certifications and stuff like that, but not really doing it. And one time he called me. I had moved from Alberta down to Arizona, and he called me and said, you know, I've got a client that I'd love for you to meet. And I ended up having an opportunity to meet him, and he's a very successful business coach. But I find out that he really has the same background as me, starting in a manufacturing industry and got into the coaching. And as we talked one time, he said to me, he said, you want to do it. You've got the background. You've got the experience. You've got all these things. Why aren't you doing it? And so that was kind of what gave me my own self-validation that, you know, I really could help a lot of people. I really could become a business coach. And so that's kind of what pushed me to start doing it. And I'm extremely grateful that I've had that opportunity because I've got to work with some incredible people. And I love what I do.
It's an amazing story. I mean, you've taken all these different steps in different industries and turn them into learning opportunities rather than just say, okay, this is a great job. I've got, you know, wonderful, you know, support at my job. I've got all these different things. But you treated it, as far as I can tell, as a learning opportunity and then took that to a whole different level. But what I have to ask you, though, Jeff, why didn't you do it? Look, I have the same question. I know so many things. I'm the smartest person in the room. I live alone. I can say that with complete aplomb. I am the smartest person in the room. So nobody's here to argue with me about that. But I know so many different things, and I've trained for so many different things, and I don't always do that. And it makes me really irritated with myself.
You know what? I think there's a number of reasons. One is I actually talked about this on one of my podcasts the other day because I think it's seeds that get planted, whether they're intentional or not. Because, you know, I was listening to a friend of mine that from Alberta. She was talking about her child starting school this week. And her child was in kindergarten. And she says, you know, as a child, what are we saying to them? Are we saying, oh, are you scared to go to school? You might get COVID or something like that. No, you're not saying those things and putting those in their mind before.
Right.
But what she said, she says, I remember when I first wanted to become an entrepreneur, and someone just in passing, probably doesn't even remember they said it, said something about, oh, that's going to be tough. You're always going to wonder where your check's coming from, those sort of things. And she says, you know what? He probably doesn't remember he said it, but every time things get rough, I remember him saying that. And I think a lot of seeds unintentionally get planted, and we have those doubts. And then, you know, for myself, I wanted to be a coach. And, you know, I look at Kodiak Mountain Stone. We started that in 2005. We've had some great things happen. We've had some terrible things happen. And, you know, what the home building industry is like since then, we've had some wicked up and down. And we've had some situations where we've been in great situations and I've made the wrong choice and I messed up. And so, you know, you look at that and think, well, you're supposed to tell everyone that failure is just a learning experience, those sort of things. But you still, it's hard sometimes to tell yourself that, yeah, you failed. It's okay. Learn from it. And you can actually help other people learn from it. And so I think that's what held me back a lot is to be a successful business coach, I needed more people to look at me successfully. But the reality is, even there's lots of things I've done that I'd make a poor choice or mess up with Kodiak Mountain Stone. And I'd even say to Dave, the partner that introduced me to the other coach, I'd say, well, that one's got to go in the book because this is a step people can learn from and not have to repeat. And I think that's where a lot of the value of having a coach that has actually been there and gone through the experiences, because I do. There's a lot of things that I've done that I could tell people, you know, here's the path you need to take and here's what you need to avoid, because I didn't avoid them and here's what happened. And so I think experience goes a long ways with things like that.
Oh, no question about it. Another thing is, and I find myself having chats with myself, is imposter syndrome. We all fall prey to it. And you're right. Somebody either dropped that little tidbit in your head when you were 5 or when you were 25 or what, and it stuck with you. But you're always going to at some point go, you know, somebody's already doing this. They're probably doing a better job. Yeah, I'll go find something else to do. That's just, I don't know who said this. I'm going to say it was Mary Kay, you know, Mary Kay makeup. But
yeah.
I'm going to say she said that, you know, it's just, how did she say it? Stinking thinking. And I have to say it in a Southern accent. Stinking thinking. Yeah. Once you start allowing that mindset into your brain, it's like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, they're doing it better. Oh, who's going to pay attention to me? I'm not nearly well enough alone. Known enough yet. I don't have a big list. There's so many excuses. And the more you talk yourself down from something that you know is a really good fit for you, the bigger headache you're going to have. It will physically give you a headache because you're not going to feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is actually a perfect lead-in, because what I've been doing a lot more lately, it started with I spoke in a summit a few months ago, and it gave me the opportunity to, what I spoke on in that summit was self-talk and the habitual questions we ask ourselves. And it gave me the opportunity to start doing more research and learning more about mindset. And that's really where a lot of my focus has been lately, because whether you're doing it from a personal standpoint or working with a business, there's so much that comes down to our mindset, and there's so much that if we understand it and can act and do things intentionally, we can have such a positive impact on our own mindset to carry ourselves and our businesses forward. Where if we're not acting intentionally, it's that stinking thinking that, you know, gets us in a position where we're doubting ourselves. We've got the imposter syndrome and those sort of things. And so that's something that I've really been working a lot on lately, is really focusing on how to help people develop the right mindset to find success.
Exactly. And if you are, and I've said this before, I've said it on the radio, I've said it to my friends, we tend to have, we speak to ourselves in a way, honestly, and I'll tell you straight out, if somebody spoke to me in a term or a fashion that I speak to myself every now and then in a Walmart parking lot, I'd be in jail because I would pop them. Somebody would be bloody. but I don't pop myself in the nose, so what the heck? but
exactly.
I'm getting better about that. When I catch myself thinking, I'll go, oh, Denise, time out. And I take myself literally. I park myself outside. I have this wonderful backyard, gorgeous pecan trees. I take myself barefoot underneath those pecan trees, dig my toes into the grass, and I ground myself and say, do not do that anymore. Let's think about something that is positive, that you can actually be effective at changing. So I've learned to
Absolutely.
Stop myself, say, oh, Denise, knock it the hell off, and off I go.
You know,
that's the only ugly thing I allow
cool
myself
thing.
To say, knock it off.
that's the cool thing about it, is when you start being more intentional about it, is it doesn't mean you'll never have any negative self-talk or you'll never have
this. They're there.
But
yeah, they're still in there.
But what it does, but you recognize it. And so that's when you can stop yourself rather than, you know, just continuing to have that conversation in your head. You can say, all right, I'm going through this right now. as frustrated as I am or as discouraged as I am right now, I recognize it and I need to change that. Because really, most of the time, the conversations we're having in our heads, we're asking and answering questions to ourselves. And even that, I say that, and you probably thought, are we asking ourselves questions? And yeah, that's how it's going on in your head.
We absolutely are. And it's an echo chamber, not a good one.
Yeah, right. And so when you can start recognizing that and you can change the habitual questions you're asking yourself, you can really change where you're going and the direction you're taking things. And so I've put some processes in place to make it more intentional, because I'm sure you've heard of RAS, Reticular Activating System. And what that is, if anyone listening hasn't heard that, what that is, it's a small part in your brain that basically is a filter that allows you to focus on the things that are important to you. There's too many things going on in the world around us for us to be able to focus on everything. You know, you can't focus on what the air feels like on your skin while you're focusing on your heartbeat pounding in your head, while you're focused on the traffic coming down the road, all these different things. So your RAS helps you focus on what's important. And so an example of this and how this works is, you know, when we moved from Canada to Arizona, I bought my daughter a little Spider Mitsubishi. It was a little car. I'd never seen one before. Really cute little convertible car. Well, I bought her this, and all of a sudden I'm seeing this car everywhere. And it wasn't just by chance that I bought it and so did everyone else in the area. No, it's something all of a sudden that was important to me.
Yeah,
so
you're aware of it.
Yeah. It's like when you buy a new dress and all of a sudden you see other people wearing the same dress. It's because your RAS makes you aware of that because it's important to you. So when you can start what I call my mindset questions, when you can create questions that you're asking yourself on a regular basis, that's triggering your RAS on that's important to you. And so when you tie that in on how you're going to want to achieve goals and what you're going to want to do in life, in a positive fashion, that's when your RAS is going to help you find the answers to achieve those goals. And so that's what I'm talking about being intentional about asking your habitual questions. And I've got questions that I go through in the morning with my clients, or I don't go through them, but my clients, they'll go through these questions in the morning and answer them. They'll go through another set of questions in the evening and answer them. And so they're always having these things on their mind, which are helping them find the direction they need to be successful.
See, I love that. And I didn't think about doing it multiple times a day to create, I guess, a habit. Have you ever heard of Byron Katie?
I haven't.
Look up Byron Katie, B-Y-R-O-N-K-A-T-I-E. She's a woman. And I came across her some years ago when I was really wondering why I allowed myself to ask and answer stupid questions and, you know, give myself a hard time all the time. I knew I shouldn't do it. I didn't know how to stop it. And I stumbled across her. And one of the things that I will never forget this, she will say to ask yourself, is it true? Is it really true? And then you have to stop and answer it. Like you're saying, oh, man, you know, I just look really ugly today. Well, is that true? Is it really true? Well, no, I look kind of cute. You know, so off you go. I mean, that's simplified.
I like that.
But it sounds very much like what you're doing as well. Is it true? Is it really true? And you're setting that.
Exactly.
You're overriding the negative garbage, which we all have. And they're going to pop up at the most inopportune moments. Guarantee. You're going to be rocking along. Everything's going to be fine. And you're going to have this thing pop into your head and it'll stop you cold and you have to get over it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And you know, the thing you said about asking yourself multiple times too, you know, you think in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
Love that book.
In whatever chapter it is, 2 or 3 on desire, he has the 6 questions that he asks that you create your statement for yourself. And he tells you, ask it first thing in the morning and ask it right before you go to bed so that those are the things and your subconscious mind can be working on it and, you know, put it into memory. And so I think that's important. And, you know, one of the questions, probably my favorite question that I have them ask every morning is what are you going to do today that's going to take you outside of your comfort zone? When you ask yourself that every single morning, and you have to find a way to step out of your comfort zone every single morning, pretty soon it gets pretty easy stepping out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, but that means you have to get out of bed. That means, seriously, you're like, oh, I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to stay here and read or watch cartoons.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, so what I've done is I've developed what I call my mindset journal. And so it includes some journaling activities. It includes your daily mindset questions in the morning, your evening mindset questions. And a lady out of Houston that I do a lot of stuff with, I sent her a copy of it when I just had the first PDF then. And I just said, hey, will you review this and just let me know what you think? And this was what she replied to me. She says, for a person that sets her clock wrong on purpose and hit the snooze button at least 2 to 3 times, wow, this is for someone that's very disciplined all day, every day. And so, yeah, these are things that you do need to be disciplined in if you want them to work. And I think that's one of the things that we find in success people. There's a lot of small things that they're easy to do, but they're just as easy not to do. And so, you know, if you're doing these mindset questions, if you did them every single day, you're going to get in that habit and develop some successful habits. If you did it 4 days a week, is it really that bad? No. But if you discipline yourself to do it every single day, you're going to find a lot more success in having that discipline to have those success habits in place.
And I have to out myself. I don't do that. I'm very hit or miss with it, and shame on me. So thank you for explaining how that works. I mean, I know, and the sad thing is, I know better. I know I need to do it. But habits are fun. They're peculiar things. And you had mentioned Napoleon Hill, and I've got a quick story for you about him. But one thing I learned from him years ago, because I read that book when I was very young, that in 1984, they both kind of scared the heck out of me. But 1984 sure did, and guess what? I wasn't wrong. But here's the thing. I have done this for many, many years. I don't even know how when I started doing it. But I have noticed that when I go to bed at night, I don't sleep well. I'm not a big sleeper. I cat nap, and that's just always how it's been. But when I think I'm about to actually go to sleep, I get all excited, and I say, you know, my quick prayers. And then I turn over whatever sticky thing has been bugging me. Something, it was a technical problem. It was maybe an emotional issue. Maybe it was somebody that I just really want to have a chat with but don't know where to start. It could be anything. And I will turn that over to my subconscious. I call this my subconscious for review without fail. Just moments before I go to sleep, I turn it over to my subconscious. And I'm telling you, this is a God's honest truth. 3:18 in the morning, doesn't matter if I went at 1 a.m., 3:18, I wake up and that answer is like a billboard in front of me. Every single time. But I have not taken it. Sorry, my dog is losing her mind behind me. I have not taken it to that extra step where I make it a habit in the morning in different times. So I'm going to do that. I'll let you know how it works. I know how it's going to work, but I'll let you know how long it takes to work. It'll work just fine.
You know what? And what you're talking about there is exactly what I teach as well, is those moments as you're laying in bed before you go to sleep are very, very valuable moments for that exact purpose, because when you go to sleep, your subconscious doesn't. And it
I
is,
know.
In fact, let me open up my journal so I get the wording right. But one of the last questions I have is, what will you be working on tomorrow that your conscious and subconscious mind needs to be finding solutions for? And so one of the things I teach is use that time right before you're falling asleep to visualize your goals, your dreams, the solutions you're trying to figure out. But one of the things that I really like that I just was studying was Neville Goddard talks about when you're doing that, don't do it as an observer. Don't do it like you're watching a movie of yourself succeeding or achieving these goals. Put yourself in the play, so that you're actually acting those things out, and that it's going to be a lot more successful for you.
Right. And you know what I just realized as I was listening to myself, because I do that now and then. I only do this, I turn it over to my subconscious for review just once, which is ridiculous because I only sleep maybe 2 hours at a time, maybe three, but that's almost too much for me. Instead of, and I'm going to do this too. I mean, you're giving me all kinds of ideas here or advice. what I do, and maybe this is just me being hopeful, although I've never been good at sleeping. I think, okay, I'm going to sleep for the rest of the night, which of course is a lie I'm telling myself, but I do it when I'm going to sleep that first time. What I have not gotten in the habit of is 3 hours later when I go, oh, I can sleep again, starting that process all over again. How in the heck did I miss that?
That's a great point. And that's,
I'm feeling rather
really
stupid
when,
right now. Seriously, I should have known this.
Not at all. Not at all, because it's so easy to just let that time slip. And, you know, that's actually, that's the same time that when you're not intentional, it fills up with anxiety. If you're going through some struggles, that's when the anxiety, I mean, I've had that. I've had that situation with, you know, last fall we had with my Kodiak Mountain Stone, we had our building burned down. We had COVID hit in March, and we had all these different things. And I found myself doing the same thing, sitting there at 2 a.m. in the morning, just looking at the ceiling with all this anxiety built up because I wasn't being intentional with my thoughts. And instead, I was just stressed and anxious and all these things not allowing me to sleep. But if I make that switch and start having those intentional thoughts, my subconscious is going to help me work on the answers.
Oh, all the time. I just can't believe I only do it once a night. That's ridiculous. I'll tell you, when I wake up, and I do, I'm waking up all the time, and I dream. I don't know about you, but I dream all the time. I wake up sometimes exhausted because I'm pretty sure I'm time traveling. I have no idea where I go, but you know, I'm just busy, busy, busy all the time. I've been known to get up at 3 in the morning and go make a gumbo or vacuum. Which is, you know, just another reason I will always live alone. I don't play well with others. But you know, it's interesting what your subconscious will pop up. And going back to Napoleon Hill, because that's where I learned that. And now I'm learning an addition to that. A friend of mine, his name is Ben Gay III. He's a living legend, literally. He's a living legend in the sales industry. I really ought to introduce you to him. I think you would thoroughly enjoy meeting him. He has the distinction of being the last mentee of Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill mentored him before he passed away. He's the last one.
Really?
Yes. Amazing, amazing guy. He's actually in my top, you know, five people and the favorite people in the world. He's an amazing guy. But yeah, I'll get him to tell you the story, but his boss brought Napoleon Hill in to mentor him for, I think, about a year.
Wow.
And how does that
happen?
What an
opportunity.
No kidding. And, you know, I was already a Napoleon Hill fan. And when Ben told me that, I was like, holy geez. Yeah, I'll introduce you if you like.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, absolutely.
Done. Okay, so we've been talking. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let me just share one quick thought I just had, too, just from my own experience this morning. The other thing is keep a notepad by your bed. Especially if you're waking up that often.
That's great.
Because right now I'm pacing around in a hotel room. I woke up this morning, and the reason I say keep it by your bed is I know my mind was going like crazy last night. And I woke up this morning with so many thoughts in my head. But we woke up at 4:30. I was going to play basketball with my daughter, and I just kind of got up and we hurried and got going. And I didn't grab my notebook. I didn't jot those things down, and I don't remember them. When your subconscious is working, when you wake up, write them down because you're not going to remember them. So I'm hoping I have those same things tonight in my head because I need them.
Listen, I do the same thing, and in the shower, too, and I have a solution for that. I finally got to work, because I don't want to turn on the light. I might accidentally go back to sleep, maybe, probably not, but I'm always hopeful. So I keep a notepad and a Sharpie next to my bed, so I can just reach over, scribble it, and hopefully I can reread it, you know, in the morning when I get up for the final time. And that seems to work, because if that light goes on, I'm reading a book, or I'm listening to music, or I'm making tacos. Who knows what I'm going to do? But and here's the thing. It happens in the shower, too, and everybody talks about this, because when you're in the shower or the tub, you're probably not concentrating on the phone or your iPad or, you know, the dog barking. You're probably just going, oh, this just is wonderful. Shower for me. But what I find is that's when, I don't know who's dropping these nuggets into my head. I'm going to go with subconscious or guides or who knows, angels, who knows. But I get some of the darndest ideas, and they are fabulous, or even snippets of a phrase that I need to use for an article I'm writing. And I finally figured out that the minute I step foot out of that shower and grab that towel, it's gone. It's over. I've forgotten all of it.
Right.
And that's annoying. So what I've done, you're going to think I'm a lunatic. I bought some bathtub crayons, and I keep them in the rack next to my shower. And I scribble all over my shower walls while I'm in the shower. And I've never managed to run the hot water tank out. But it's you know, a goal. I'm going to do it one day. I'll stay. Huh?
That's not lunacy. That's brilliant.
It works. So what I do is, you know, run out, grab my shower, grab my phone. I take pictures of everything and like, there it is. And I don't lose it. And then, of course, I scrub the walls and we're all good.
That is, I love it. That's great.
Get some. Tell Santa you want some crayons for your stocking.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You're right. I mean, and I have to ask you, I keep muting because I'm coughing. You can't hear me cough, can you?
Not at all. No.
Oh, good. My last headset didn't work, and we had to scrub it because I was making so much noise. We just got through with a hurricane, and there's all kinds of stuff coming up from the ground. I mean, it's just... And I don't normally have allergies, but right now I'm coughing and choking and sneezing and not enjoying it very much. So just so you know, so I am muting. I just don't want to cough in your ear. I hope we're not getting too far off of the questions that I wanted to ask you, because I find this absolutely fascinating. So how did you learn that you have to bring your subconscious into review, if you will? I mean, it's a powerful tool that we all have. Why don't we, more of us, make use of it?
You know, I was actually talking to a client the other day about this and about the whole idea of self-education. Some of the things I do are obviously my own or I've adapted someone, but it's learning from others. You know, we've talked about Napoleon Hill. I've studied him for years. I was talking to someone about Napoleon Hill, and he asked me if I had read any of Goodhart's stuff. And so I started reading his stuff. And, you know, even, you know, when I first started learning about the habitual questions we ask ourselves, that was from Tony Robbins.
Yeah,
you know,
love
him. We all learn from other people and take those things we learn and adapt them to what we want to do and what we want to teach and those sort of things. And yeah, so that's where I've learned. I've learned or heard things that other people are doing and studied them and brought it into my own and tried it for myself and those sort of things.
And Jeff, there's a reason they share these things. You know, these are people who got over imposter syndrome or nobody's going to listen to me. I mean, they have a distinct purpose in life and they take it and share it. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Tony Robbins and he shares his story. And where did who was his mentor? It was Jim Rohn. And, you know, mm-hmm. we know Jim Rohn would have had a mentor, and everyone's learning from one another. And that's how we grow the whole knowledge base.
Exactly. And I'm actually in one of Tony's programs right now. It cost me a little fortune, but oh my God, it's good. I mean, it's just, and when I wake up at 3 a.m, oftentimes I'm in there going, okay, what do you have for me today? Show me something new.
Yeah.
Your self-development is so, so important. So we've talked a bit about creating the right mindset that allows you to develop your path, but, and then, you know, we've talked a bit about how we can change by just switching the types of questions we ask ourselves. I'll be honest with you, that's a toughie for a lot of people because it's so easy to just get in that loop. It's almost like having a recording in your head that you're just like, go away, I hate you, but you don't do anything to make it go away. So there's
right.
that. And then let's talk about goals because, I'm sorry, go ahead and then I'll ask you about goals.
No, I was just going to say, I think one of the most important parts about that is what we said earlier, is starting to recognize it. When you recognize those negative questions you're asking, then that's when you can say, okay, here's where I am. I've got to change. And you can change the, you know, instead of, you know, why me? Why does this happen to me? And, you know, going back to Tony, you know, looking at things from life is happening for you, not to you.
Exactly.
Completely changes your outlook on things. So whatever that thing is that is causing those negative questions, look at it from that perspective. What is this teaching me? What can I learn from this rather than why me?
And, you know, I look at it slightly differently. I don't ever think, you know, something's happening to me just because. I often catch myself going, what did you do? Denise, let's have a chat.
Uh-huh.
Because almost 100% of the time it was me doing something really stupid.
Right.
So I don't blame anybody else. I mean, sometimes I blame myself too much, and I'm working on that. It's like, okay, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
Get over it. You know, go move on to the next fire that you have to stomp out. So I completely get where you're going here. Now, let's talk a bit about goals because those are tough. Goals are tough. I'm telling you. I will catch myself going, you got this, you got this. Oh, you don't got this, crud. So tell us how to fix that. How can we set them and then stick with them?
So in my mindset journal, that's where I start, is with your goals. And I've got a few practices. And actually, when everything began with COVID, I created a free online course specifically for this because I thought, you know what, I don't know how long this is going to last. But just right from the beginning, I thought there's people that are going to lose direction and not know what to do. And so I created a course that's on my site called My Momentum Series that kind of goes through a lot of this. But in my mindset journal, few things I go through. And what it begins with, back in 2004, I was reading a book called The Power of Focus by Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and Les Hewitt. And in it, they've got an exercise called your 101 goals. And so what you do with that is you just sit down with a book and without any limitations, nothing's impossible. Just start writing. Write out 101 things that you want in life, from where you want to go, who you want to meet, experiences you want to have, money you want to earn, investments you want to make, you know, everything. But when you write out 101 of those things that you want, it's amazing. I actually, just about a week ago, pulled out of my desk my original list that I made in February of 2004. And I've continued to go through it. And as I achieve them, I'll write the date down. And, you know what, some of them were, this was in 2004. I said, in 5 years, I want to do this. And you know what, it was 7 years later, but I accomplished it. But it's, again, it's acknowledging that it's something you want and letting your subconscious go to work on it. And then the next part is what I call my clarity tool. And what that one is really to narrow down what your top goals are. And to do that, and the next two exercises are actually something I learned from Dean Graziosi. But what I have them do.
I bet we're in the same group. Since you mentioned him, I bet I know where you are. Okay, keep going.
So what you do is you put yourself out a year from now. and just look at it as if you had the absolutely best year of your life. And what was that? What did you accomplish? What are all the things that you did that has made it the best year of your life? And then look back and set those as your goals. And then from there, we say, okay, these are the things I want to accomplish. If I want this to be the best year of my life, this is what I've got to accomplish. Now, what's the path I need to take to get there? What's the first step I need to take? And as Napoleon Hill says, start now, whether you're ready or not, and start working on that. And then the next thing I walk him through is probably the most valuable tool I think I've ever got from Dean Graziosi. And I don't remember, he got it from someone else. I don't remember who it is. And I know a lot of people use it because I was actually on a seminar with Benjamin Hardy last week, and he taught the same thing. And I know he would have got it from Dean, but it's called the seven levels deep. And so whatever.
We're definitely in the same group. Definitely. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So start with your first goal and just ask yourself, why is that important to you? And really put it out there. And then whatever that answer is that you've got, go one level deep and ask why that answer is important to you. And it can't be something that you just fly through. You've got to put heart and thought into this. But as you ask that seven times and really dig down to find out why it's important to you, you can really find out what your why is behind that goal. And what that is going to do, it's going to give you the drive and determination on why you're really doing it. You know, if you've got a true purpose behind why you want to achieve that goal on those hard days when you don't even want to get out of bed, it's that why that will help push you to do that.
I did that exercise some time ago. And what I found out with one goal in particular, that it was garbage. It was nothing but fluff from start to finish. It was completely ego-based.
Really?
That hurt.
That's interesting.
Yeah, hurt my feelings. Yeah. I thought I was much, much more in tune with myself. Turned out it was just, it's kind of one of those things that people, oh, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And I bought into it at some level. And, okay, I can do that. I actually could do it. My heart was not in it, so that one got dumped very quickly. But once I started looking at some other goals that really did mean a lot to me, I figured there was a lot of fluff and still, and there was a lot of ego. But once I winnowed it down, I was like, oh, there you are. But you're right. Uh-huh. You have to really work at it, and you can't give yourself permission to skate and go, oh, you know, everybody's doing it. That moron over there is doing it. I can do it too. That's not the right answer, by the way.
Well, and I had a client that I did this with, and I said, you know what? I want you to work on this tonight, and we'll talk about it in our next session. And she came back. She's like, oh, that was such a good drill and going through that. And I only went five levels deep, but it really worked. I was like, no. That's not how
seven.
This works.
Yeah.
Keep going. And it really brings a lot more meaning and heart into it.
And, you know, you were talking about that list, the 101 list. I think, I know I did it. God, it was so long ago. I'm embarrassed even. It was a decade ago or better. But I think I learned it from John Assaraf. And I don't even know where that list is anymore. I'm going to have to go. It's probably in an old computer that's sitting in my closet. But I'm going to revisit that. If I have to power that thing up, I'm going to find that list, because I remember sitting for days with that list. You know, I can do this. This is interesting. Let me cross that out. I'm a list builder, so I think I color-coded the darn thing. I mean, I really went into it, none of which was necessary. I should have just gone from the heart and written them down and then revisited it on a regular basis. But I know I color-coded it. And tabulate. It's horrible. I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. And I think that's why I didn't follow through, because I was so focused on the process instead of the results.
Right. And I mean, that's, like I said, you've got to do that with a kid's mind. Like anything
right.
is possible.
Homer Simpson.
And it's just, yeah. Now, the other thing that you have to do is you've got to review your list. Because what that'll do is it will allow you to recognize things that you may not even realize you've already achieved goals that you just moved on from.
Yeah.
That you're actually today, you're living something that a year ago, 2 years ago was a dream. It was your goal. What you're doing today that you think is so normal, that was a goal a while ago. And so I think there's a huge value in spending time going back and reviewing your list and just having that gratitude and saying, you know what? I wanted to do this 2 years ago, and guess what? It's just part of my life today. I'm living that dream.
I have to go back. You know, I may not even go back and find that list. I may just start a new one, because I'm willing to bet as I write things down, I'll be able to say, well, I've already done that. Why am I still thinking about that? It may not be possible to find, I'm giving myself an out here, it may not be possible to even find that thing, but I remember doing it a long time ago. Crazy stuff.
Well,
okay, so.
You know what's cool, too, is one of the things I wrote, I made this list in February 2004, and one of the things I put on there was my wife and I are going to take a trip to Africa, and I can't remember what timeline I put on it. There's no way in the world I would have known at that time that in December of 2012, we would be traveling to Africa to pick up a little boy that we adopted.
Oh.
And to be able to look back on that list and saying, wow, I achieved that goal. And not how I thought it was going to be, but wow, this is awesome.
That is awesome. So when you get people that you're coaching to go through this, what are some of the, I don't know how to even say this, what are some of the, let's call it an aha moment where they go, how did I not know this? I'm doing that a lot chatting with you today. I keep saying, how did I not know this? I'm the smartest girl in the room. What the heck? So, this is why we have these conversations, right?
Yeah. You know, a lot of it just comes down to the fact that spending the time to actually go through the exercises and being intentional about it. Because, you know, it's easy to say, all right, it's New Year's. What are my top goals this year? And you forget them by the middle of January. And say, yeah, I'm a goal setter. I set my goals January 1st. But to really spend the time to do it and then do the things, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but one of the things in my mindset journal is every morning I've got a section that says each day write out your major goals and your definite key thing. And so even though you've set those goals and reading them is great, but actually not typing them out, writing them out by hand every single day, those goals are part of you and you're going to figure out how to get there. And so I think that's where a lot of the ahas come from is, you know what, when I put the time and effort and discipline into actually doing these and start living intentionally, I have a lot more control on the outcome of my life. I think that's where a lot of the ahas happen.
Okay, so tell me why writing them, physically writing them, is different from typing them. Look, I'm a techie nerd. I am a nerd in stilettos. I love my keyboards. I pound them to death. I have two a year. It's hard for me to sit down. I have one in the closet as a backup. It's hard for me to write things out because my brain is going so fast. My hand can't keep up. So I need to change that mindset, I guess.
And that's why. Because I am too. You know, I don't know if you ever use Evernote, but my life is in Evernote.
Yeah.
And I moved my, a number of years ago, I moved my journals over to Evernote because I could do them, I could type them out quick. I could do it while I was driving. I could dictate, all those sort of things. But what I've done is for the exact reason you said, is our minds go so fast when we're looking at our goals. And we have to force ourselves to slow down and write them out by hand. Our minds are focused on that specific goal for that much longer.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it's really becoming part of you.
So I have to actually write stuff. Dang it.
Exactly. I'm with you on that.
I don't like to do that. And then, I mean, even when I'm, you know, scribbling on my walls, I start out, you know, okay, you know, it's, I'm using, I'm printing, I'm using my print, and I don't use cursive because who can read that anymore? I never was very good at it. And then at the end of the show, I don't even try. When I first started banking, they said, well, you need to write your name. I said, I just did. You printed it. I know. That's what you get. That's all there. But it's beautiful print. I can read it. It's very clear until I get to the bottom of my shower walls and I can't even read it. It just looks like a straight line because I'm scribbling so fast. So I guess that's been my big excuse for not writing anything down, because after about 5, 10, 20 minutes, I'm like, what the heck? Where did it go? So I guess I have to really focus. I don't guess, I know, listening to you, I have to really focus what I'm writing, wherever I'm writing it.
Yeah, and it does. It forces you to slow down. And so that's the reason behind it.
Well, I'm going to do that. And if you get an hysterical email from me going, it didn't work, that's only because it was day one, but I'll keep trying it. So we'll see where we're going to go with that. Okay, the last question I have for you is, because we're talking an awful lot about personal development and self-education, and honestly, I think that's one of the big, big reasons, if we had to kind of winnow down, is why people are not getting stuck in one industry, or in my case, my computer science degree is pretty limiting if you just look at it as a computer science degree. But I don't just stick there. I'm all over the place. It was a tool for me, and I'm glad I did it. I didn't like paying for it, but I'm glad I did it. But the thing is, we don't have to just stay wherever our teachers taught us, stay here, go in this industry. And I think a lot of that can be put down straight to personal development and self-education. What do you think?
I'm 100% with you. I just think there's so much value in that. And, when I first started doing it, it was actually my boss at the bank at the time that got me really into reading books and doing things. And I remember, I don't remember which course it was, but I was listening to one of Tony Robbins' courses. And it was the first time I heard him say that he had set a goal to read 700 books or whatever. And I thought, well, heck, if it works for Tony Robbins, I'm going to read 700 books. And so when I started, it was like, read a book, go to the next, read a book, go to the next, and just flying through them. And my whole thought was, and I remember even reading this in one of my journals, saying, there's so many things that I'm learning, but I'm going from book to book. If I can remember 1% of them, I'm getting better. And so that was it. And then I remember listening to Darren Hardy talk about studying more about what you're learning rather than just reading to read. And I started being more intentional on my personal development that way too, is saying, okay, this quarter, I'm going to be focused on mindset. And so whether it's my books, my podcasts, my audiobooks, whatever I'm doing, I'm trying to do more of it on mindset and visualization and goal setting and those sort of things. And so I'm really absorbing a lot more. And, my books, I travel a lot and I'm at the gym and those different things. So I love audiobooks, but I'm really proud of my library. And, I can go into my library.
Mine too. Yep.
You open that up, and I mean, there are so many scribbles and underlines and everything in there just because I love just diving into a book and studying it. But it really opens up new worlds for us. And, I was actually listening the other night to Dean Graziosi on one of his podcasts, and him talking, and Napoleon Hill talks about this too, the specialized knowledge. We can go to school and learn computer programming, but really to become invaluable in the world and in whatever industry we're in, we've got to create that specialized knowledge that's going to make us stand out. And I think that's where self-education and personal development comes into play. I'm at the bank and I'm studying different things. I was studying a lot of management stuff because I was in a management position. But I'm also studying the entrepreneurial stuff. And so when that came up for me, an opportunity to start a business of making rocks, sounds crazy, but a lot of what I had been studying had been helping me set things up. So I knew how to manage a company that way. I knew how to start a company, those sort of things. And it opens doors that are allowing us to do things as they come up rather than saying, I'm going to be here at the bank till I get my gold watch.
I know. I have largely the same mindset as you do, obviously, the way we're chatting together, but to have to be somewhere in somebody's office, and trust me, you do not want me in your office. I don't play well with others. I run with scissors. If you want coffee, you can get it your own damn self. I'm not doing it. So this is why I live alone and work alone. I know myself very, very well. But I also know that I'm intensely curious about just about everything, which makes life very exciting, I think. Instead of just going, you know, plodding in the door, out the door, grabbing your toolbox, grabbing your lunchbox, and doing, if that works for you, God bless you. It would not work for me. Clearly, it wouldn't work for you either.
Yeah. And you know, that's a problem at times, too. You know, you look at the book E Myth, and he talks about working on your business instead of in your business.
Gerber.
That's where I'm from.
Right, Michael Gerber. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of my problems is I'm like you. I'm curious. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I need a website. Oh, that would be cool to know how to set up a website and run this and run that. So I want to dig in and learn it. Well, there's probably, well, take it a step back to when I started Kodiak Mountain Stone. I was doing everything from working in the factory to taking orders to deliveries, everything. And when we got to the point that I had to start delegating some stuff, I had to start getting other people to do things just because I physically couldn't continue to do it. Problem was, well, they're not going to do it as good as me. They don't know what I know.
I know.
But then what happened is I got people in those positions doing the things that I decided to hand off. And all of a sudden it's like, well, guess I was wrong. They're doing it way better than I ever did it. and
because they're specialized, right?
Exactly. And that's where I was going to go with that because we're curious and I want to know how to develop a website. I want to know how to do this. I want to know how to do that. And so I do it myself. You know what, for who bringing someone in or hiring, you know, outsourcing it, whatever, to do that for you and get it done better than I'm going to do it myself is going to be a lot cheaper. And my time can be spent doing more valuable stuff that I can't have someone else do.
Exactly. I mean, that, and I am a web developer, so you're speaking to my choir here. But listen, when I first started out, I did everything on my own because, you know, I'm an A-type personality. Yeah, I know what I know. And it took me a while. I've got a heck of a team. Many of them have been with me for 10 years or better. And honestly, I finally had to figure out that the smartest thing for me to do was to hire people who were better at something than I was. Doesn't mean I can't guide them. Doesn't mean I don't know exactly what I'm asking for, but they're better at it because they have taken the time and the energy and the money to train themselves to do something. You know, PHP, HTML, could be anything. Photoshop. I hate Photoshop. I have people that do this kind of stuff. I am not playing with Photoshop. So, yeah, I'll find people that are better than you are at some specialized thing and let them rip.
Well, look at Henry Ford. When in the story in Think and Grow Rich, when they talked about him going on the stand and being accused of not knowing everything that he should or whatever. And he
I
got
love that story.
Okay, do you know this? And he basically said, why would I fill my mind up with that useless knowledge when at the press of a button, I can have someone do it for me?
That's exactly right. And he's not wrong. Listen, people like, you know, Henry Ford and Napoleon Hill, Wallace Wattles, have you ever read any of his work?
No, but I'm writing it down as you speak.
Wallace Wattles. He was about the same era as Napoleon Hill. Fascinating stuff. You'll love it. But, you know, these people had much importance to share, and we still hear their names, even though many of them have been long gone for decades. But their worth was so tremendous that we're still learning from them. Why can't we be the same? Why can't we teach what we know and what we're passionate about and what we really love?
You know, in my mastermind group right now, we're actually studying Napoleon Hill as a group and reading it all together. And that's what I told him. I said, you know what? If this was just a fly-by-night thought that he had going here, we wouldn't be doing this right now. It's not going to last nearly a century and still be as effective today if it wasn't legitimate.
Exactly. Have you ever read his, I think he was, I can't remember the title. I've got it on Audible. Napoleon Hill is Arguing with the Devil. Have you read that?
Yes. And I have it on Audible as well.
Yeah. A friend of mine said, you've got to read this. And I went, what? I mean, just the title had me going.
Outwitting the Devil.
Outwitting the Devil. Yeah. And listen, I will turn that thing on my iPhone, put the iPhone next to my pillow, and I'll fall asleep reading it. Hearing it.
Yeah.
I'm not reading anything. It's amazing how your brain works. Listen, it has been absolutely fascinating talking with you, and I know we're no longer streaming, but we're still recording. So before I let you go, share a bit more about what it is that you do with people that you need for them to know, and then tell people where they can find you and the Momentum series.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I thank you so much for allowing me to be on this with you today. It's been fabulous. Best place to follow me or find out more about me is on my website, jeffhagee.com, jeffhegee.com. And it's got all my programs, everything I've got on there. I'm a business coach. I really help a lot with people that need to increase their leads, increase their conversions, all those things, but they don't have the money to invest into more marketing and advertising. But really, a lot of my focus the last while, whether it's with my business coaching clients or just any of the clients I work with, has been helping people develop the mindset to be successful. And so a few of the things, and so also you can follow me on Instagram or Facebook at Jeff Hagee Coaching, or on Twitter at Jeff Hagee Coach. And, you know, on jeffhagee.com, my free Momentum series is fabulous. And, you know, it's just three quick videos. They come out to you, I think, every 2 days. I've got an article on there at jeffhagee.com/mindset that talks about the mindset questions and everything there. And then you can see all my programs on there. I don't want to spend too much time going into this, but actually on September 10th, I'm going to do a free webinar on Mindset Secrets. It's kind of preparing myself as well for a new launch I'm going to have on a new course on High Achievers Mindset Secrets. But on September 10th, I'm doing a free webinar. The easiest place to go is probably in my Instagram or any of my social media links. You can sign up through there. Or if you just go to my blog on jeffhagee.com, you can find it there. But you can find my mastermind, all my programs on jeffhagee.com.
Okay, I am definitely going to sign up for that. Jeff, thank you so much. It has been really fascinating speaking with you and fun. And I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience. And thank you for spending so much time with me. I really appreciate it. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and honestly anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Jeff, thank you.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.